Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Nazir is Samech Aleph. Yesterday's daf, which we're still mostly through, but still have to a lot to go through, is perhaps one of the more difficult dafim that we saw encountered in the course of this Masechta. It involves a lot of moving parts, a lot of variables. So we're going to finish up yesterday's daf, and Yemir Hashem finish the parak today, and move on to the ninth parak of the Masechta. Thanks, Lubin Foundation, for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is known as Zechon Ishmat Liba, Gabriela Bashmuel. The eighth parak of the Masechta, which we're currently concluding right now, has to do with a Nazir who is a Suffolk. And he is not sure whether or not he's a Nazir or he's not a Nazir. I'm sorry, let me take that back. He's sure he's a Nazir, but the Sfeikos involve Tumma. So already the first Mishnah, the second Mishnah talked about a Nazir who was a Nazir, and then, together with another Nazir, was unsure which one of them is a Tame. So we already spent through a couple days discussing what to do and how to resolve that situation. The second Mishnah of the Perek talked about same scenario, two Nazirim, one of them is a Tame, and then one of them died. Okay, so that obviously added another complication. Machlokas between Rav Yeshua ben Zoma, Rav Yeshua and ben Zoma, what to do with that person, that Machlokas found itself on Nun Tes Amud Beis. The bottom of Nun Tes Amud Beis introduced the Mishnah, which brought about yesterday's daf, which again is a very difficult daf, but dealt with the following scenario. Person's a Nazir, and then on the day that he becomes a Nazir, he also now becomes a Suffolk Tameh, and he becomes a Suffolk Mitzorah. And what do you do? And what does this person do in order to resolve all the possibilities there are? He's definitely the background to the whole scenario is that he's a Nazir, but then layered on top of that, he may or may not be Tamei, and he may or may not be Mitzorah. So what do you do? So the Mishnah actually has a very clear formulation in terms of what he does. And the Braisa yesterday, where we went through the entirety of the Braisa, which covered all of Amud Aleph and a little bit of the Amud Beis, also gave clarity in terms of what he's supposed to do, and basically shave on four occasions at a distance of 30 days apart. So on days 30, 60, 90, 120, he's going to be shaving four times. And with every shaving, he's eliminating possibilities. So shave number one, he's eliminating the possibility that that's the first shave for the Mitzorah. Because remember, the Mitzorah has a two-shave process. A shave on day one and a shave on day seven. So for the Mitzorah, you shave on day one and day seven. I'm sorry, you shave on day one and day seven. For this person, again, because he's a Suffolk, so you shave on day 30, you shave on day 60. So by 60 now, you've eliminated the possibility of him being a Mitzorah. Now on day 90 you shave, but that's going to eliminate the possibility that he's a Nazir Tameh, and you shave on 120 because by day 120 now you know for sure that you've eliminated all the other possibilities. You're shaving on day 120, and that now is going to be the conclusion of his Nazirus. In a very succinct sentence, that's basically what we learned yesterday. The complication involved, A, the idea that the Gemara didn't discuss this, but A, the idea that you can't shave if you're not sure that you're supposed to, because that you're violating an Isser of Hakafas HaRosh. B, exactly what Karbanis are you going to be bringing, because every time you're shaving, you don't know why you're shaving, you're just eliminating possibilities. So which Karbanis do you bring? That was another complication that we dealt with yesterday. And so there was much to discuss in terms of the details of the Mishnah and of that of the Braisa. We are picking up in the Gemara, and right, that was the Gemara's conclusion a couple days ago, that it can't be done for a heat. Okay. The Gemara in Samech Amud Beis now, we're going to pick it up. So, Tamei Suffolk Muchla Vadai. Okay, so we're just going to go with a couple of other scenarios. And so now that we basically know the formula, so now it's just a question of plugging in what we know into these scenarios. So we're going to start off with a case where it's a Tamei Suffolk Muchla Vadai. Okay, again, he's a Nazir. And then on the day that he becomes a Nazir, may or may not become Tamei, for sure is a Mitzorah. So for sure he's a Mitzorah. So therefore, if he's sure he's a Mitzorah, so therefore he goes right into addressing his Tzaras. He has to clear himself from the Mitzorah, and then and only then does he deal with the other issue. So after 8 days he's Ocha Bekashim Lachashmoniyamim. So after 8 days he's Ocha Bekashim. That's wonderful. That's very good. and v'shorsi yayin. And I'm sorry. Ocha b'kashon lachrish mani yayin v'shorsi yayin ametam lamesam lachrish shisha v'shivim yom. And then you need another 60 days after that, because a week later, actually more accurately, 8 days later, you're finished with your tzaras. You bring your karbanos for your mitzvah and you're good. On day 8, you're going to be starting to count now 60 days. Why 60? Because he may or may not be tamei. So once again, because he may or may not be tamei, so 30 days he's going to have to bring his karbanos of Nazir Tuma in the event that he's tamei. Again, the complication of he's not sure he's tamei. So which karbanos is he going to have to actually bring? So again, we spoke about it briefly yesterday. I'm not going to go over it right now again at this point. And then he counts another 30 days because if he were tamei, so now he's starting his Naziris B'Tahara. So that's why on day 67 now, he finishes his Naziris. Next, Mukhlat Safik V'Tamei Vaday. Let's say he's possibly Mitzora, but for sure Tamei. So here it's going to get a little more complicated.
The first one that the Mitzora is for sure, it would be from 120 days goes to 90 days then. The first case was 120 days.
Right, right.
The second case, when one of them is Mitzora is for sure, then it would be 90 days, because Mitzora is done, and then...
No, if the Mitzora is for sure, then we don't do 30, 60, 90, 120. If we know for sure it's a Mitzora, so then immediately he takes care of his Saras.
I'm saying Mitzora plus Safek Tomei.
Right, so Mitzar plus Safek Tamei, that's what we just dealt with.
Right.
So he immediately takes care of its Saras.
Right.
That's only 8 days, that's all it takes.
And then 60 days after.
And then another 60 days after, on top of that. That's it. That's it. Right, correct. So now, Mukhlat Safek V'Tamei Vaday. Next case is that he's possibly a Mitzora, but definitely Tamei. Okay, so possibly a mitzvah and definitely tamei. So ocha b'kashim lachar shoshim v'shiva yamim. So now he's the next opportunity is going to eat to have to eat karban, meaning to remove his saras is going to be on day 37. V'shos yanim etam lameisan lachar shiva v'arba shivim v'arba yom. And then in terms of finishing the zeros, so that's going to take place on day 74. Okay, how do we arrive at these numbers? So let's take a look together at the Rush. The Rush writes over here on the side. It's right in the middle in my Gemara. It's right in the middle. Mukhlak Safik V'Tamei Vaday. Possibly a Mitzora, definitely Tamei. So the Rush goes on to explain. So Mukhlak Safik V'Tamei Vaday. Ocha B'Kachem Achor Lamed Zayin Yaman. Demi Achor She'enu Mukhla Vaday. Again, this person is saddled with the problem of being a Mitzora, but not knowing if he's a Mitzora. Iyeshul L'Gelech Miyad. So Elam Mazikim of Zayin Umegaleach. So here now, he's not sure if he's a Mitzora, but he's sure, says the Rush, that he is that he's Tamei Meis. So now he has to address the Tumas Meis. So what he does is that he removes the Tumas Meis. So on day 3 and 7 he gets sprinkled. Umagalech beches. And now, after now being Tahor, so he does a Giluach on day 8. Umevi Karban Nazir Tamei. Umevit Siporim L'Safi Chilutam. So now, on day 8, what's going to be happening? So he's going to bring his karbanos for Nazir Tuma, because that's what you do when you're Nazir Tame, on day 8. And also on day 8, you can now start the process of Mitzora. Again, this person right now doesn't know for sure he's a Mitzora, it's a possibility, but he'll do it. Now, the problem now is that for the Mitzora, it's an 8-day purification process, and you're shaving on day 1 and day 7. The problem over here is he doesn't know for sure he's a Mitzora. He may be a Mitzora, he may not be a Mitzora. So now what do? So you're going to have to wait 30 days. Now you're going to have to wait another 30 days. So now you're up to 37. Okay, I know this is confusing, but 7 days for his tuma, because he was a vade tummy. Another 30 days because, in principle, he should be doing the purification of saras the next 7 days, but the problem is that he has no fish or he's a mitzora. So therefore, because he may be just a regular nazir, he's going to have to wait between the first and second shaving a total of 30 days. So that now that's 37 days. Okay, so now, at least on day 37, he's free and clear of his saras. Good. So that's good. And now he'll be moving on to the Nazirus. The Shema Muchlat Hu Vahavin Hanach Beis Tiglachas Lechilut Ulusufro Ulusov Zan Yamin Migalech Gimelotumasa. And now it goes on to explain the Rush. So there is a possibility that he actually was a Mitzora. So if he actually was a Mitzora, now he's starting the Nazirus right now. The Yom Laminches Ololamin Yanashi. Over Yom Aches Yascha Limnos Nazirus Tahara. So you got to wait a requisite week in order so that you could do another shave. So now, since you're waiting another week, so on top of that, so it's not till you get to day 74 where you're going to actually finish your Naziros, because you needed to wait another week. Okay.
What's the reason for the second week?
The second week was as a result of... He took care of his tuma. He started off by taking care of his tuma. And
67.
Wait, just 1 second. Let me get this straight in my own head. He took care of his tuma on the first week. Then he did. Then he had to do the 30 days because he may be a mitzora,
right,
again, and that separated one and thirty had to be separated because he's a suffix mitzora. So that's 37. And why one more week after that?
For shaving?
It seems like he's
at his 67.
Right, because he
has to be shaving for the Tzaras and shaving.
Right, correct. In other words, right. So he has to be doing the shaving for Tzaras.
So
that's another 7 days. Okay. All right, one more to go. Tami Vade Umuchla Vadai. Okay, he's for sure Tami, he's for sure a Mitzora. Okay, so whichever. In other words, on the day, this is all on the day that it became a Nazir.
No, but this one has to
clear
first.
Okay, fine. So Muchlat, so but he was both. So Ocha B'Kashem La'achrish Moniyamim. So here, once again. So the Tzaras you can take care of right away, and you're supposed to take care of right away.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to take care of your Tzaras right away, and now, V'Shosyanim Tamam Mesim La'achar Arba'im V'Arba Yamim. So once you take care of your Tzaras right away, you still need another week, and in terms of getting rid of the Tumah, so that's 2 weeks, plus another 30 days, so you're up to 44. Okay. Adkan. That... He was both a Tamei and a Mitzora on the day that he becomes a Nazir.
Okay.
So a week to take care of his Saras, another week to take care of his Tumas Meis, and then another 30 days. So then you get to 44. Okay. Shalu Tamid of his Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Okay. So now basically we've exhausted every scenario where the Nazir was a Mitzora or a Tamei. We discussed basically every variable. We discussed where it was Suffolk Tamei, Suffolk Mitzora. We discussed Vadei Tamei, Suffolk Mitzora. We discussed Vadei Mitzora, Suffolk Tamei. And we discussed Vadei both. Okay, so we covered that. We covered all of our bases. And basically, as I mentioned yesterday, but now let's see it inside in the Gemara, there's an underlying assumption in this entire discussion, which is that what the Nazir cannot do at any point in time is shave and count that shaving for two requirements. Meaning every shaving has to be for one specific person and you can never double dip. Even though a lot of the times he may be shaving for this reason, so why can't you use the shaving and apply it towards this need and for that need? Shalom Tamidas Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, Nazir Torah Mitzora, Mahushi Galech Tiglachas Achas, Va'olololo Lekan Lekan. So let's say you have a Nazir who is also a Mitzora. So why not allow him to shave, and why not allow that shaving to be applied towards his Tzaras and for his Nazirus? Why can't we double dip when it comes to shaving? Amar Lahem, so the answer of Shema Bar Yochai, and this answer basically is going to take us to the end of the Perek. Einu Megalech. So he says no. I like that. First answer. No, we can't do it. So Amar Lo Lama. So they're saying to Rabbi Shema Bar Yochai, okay, we understand no. Right? That part we get. But if you can, why? Right? By far and away, the most difficult question is always the why. Right? The what is easy. The why is always harder. So Amar Lahem, so his response is, Ilu zelagado vzelagado vzelahavir yafei atam omrim. Look, let's take a look at the goal of the shaving. If one goal of the shaving is to remove hair, and the other goal of the shaving is to grow hair, if both goals were the same goal, if the goal of one is to remove and the goal of the other is to remove, or if the goal of one is to grow and the other one is to grow, so then I hear you. Achshav nazir lahavir mitzora legadol. But you understand, however, that the shavings that are a nazir mitzora are working in the opposite directions. You're shaving as a nazir, why? Lahavir. Meaning the whole point of finishing your naziris is you had hair, now you want to remove the hair. As opposed to mitzora. By a mitzora, so what do you want to do? You want to grow new hair. Meaning the old hair you had, that was, for a lack of better term, saras hair. Okay. Whatever that exactly means, but you understand. That's the old you. But you want the new you. So the new you is going to require you to shave. So mitzora legato. So the whole purpose of shaving by a mitzora is to grow hair. So the Gemara is basically saying, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is saying, is that the purpose, the goal of the shaving is to go in two different directions. That's why you can't double dip. So the Amar Lahem. So the Gemara says, so the students say to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, okay, good. Now we're going to try to pin you down. So now that we understand that if the goal of the shavings are different, then they can't be, you can't apply one shaving for both. But what if we can find shavings where the goal are the same? So for example, so you know, the Mitzorah has Yimei Sfira. In other words, he has to count 7 days. So he shaves, counts 7 days, and then he shaves again. To which Rabbi Shimon Yochai says, look, if one shaving was before the sprinkling of the dam, the blood, and the other one was after the shaving and sprinkling of the dam, of the blood, I'm sorry, again, let me make the point in the order that he makes it. If both were before the Zrikas Dam, so that would, then I'd agree with you. Ela Mitzorah lefnei Zrikas Damim, but you understand, however, but that's not true. When it comes to the Mitzorah, when does he shave? Before Zrikas Dam. And the Nazir shaves la'achar Zrikas Damim. So it's true. Both of those shavings, on the first point you got me, both of those shavings are for the purpose of havarasayar, for the removal of hair. But in terms of the timing as it relates to the carbon, one's before sprinkling and the nazir's after sprinkling. So the Gemara says, okay, but I think we can get you on this point. How about saras and tuma? Meaning, why can't we double dip for saras and tuma? Amar lahem, now again, they're both going to be for the purposes of growth, meaning for the nazir tahor, he's shaving his hair to remove the hair. But for the nazir tameh, he's shaving his hair in order so that he can grow hair. Oh, in other words, so that's for growth, as is the mitzorah is for growth. And now they're both going to be after, I'm sorry, they're both going to be before Zrikas Dam, so maybe that should be, that maybe you could double the dip there. Amar lahem, ilu zelif ne bias mayim, vezelif ne bias mayim yafe. Atem omrim, ela tame la'achar bias mayim, o mitzor lif ne bias mayim. So the Gemara says, again, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, you almost got me, but you didn't get me there as well. He says, because look in terms of when you tovel in the mikvah. When it comes to the Nazir Tameh, when is he toveling in the mikvah? He's toveling in the mikvah before the shave. When is the mitzvah toveling? He's toveling the mikvah after the shave. Okay, so once again, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says they can't. He can't double dip. Amru lo yafa amar shelo tala lo yimei sifrol nizirasol v'tala lo yimei chaluto v'tumasol. Okay, so how about this? How about the nazir mitzorah at the conclusion and the nazir tameh? The zelagada v'zelagada, once again, they're both cutting their hair in order to the grow new hair. So, and they're both going to be doing it after bias mayim. Okay, so amar lahem nazir tahor v'hu mitzorah zelagada v'zelahavir. So a nazir tahor, and he is a mitzorah, so one is to grow and the other is to remove. V'im nazir tameh v'hu mitzorah, and if it's a nazir tameh and he's a mitzorah, zulufnei b'yasmayim v'zulachar b'yasmayim. So once again, a distinction between one's before toveling in the mikvah and one is after toveling in the mikvah. Okay, so, and then a series of questions of why you can't double dip, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, so in various ways basically says, because the goal and the objective, and sometimes even just the timing, is different between the two of them, and therefore you cannot double dip in any of these shavings.
Only the Nazir is used to end the shalom, right? Or both the Sora and Nazir?
No. Only, right.
Why? That's also different.
That's another difference. Okay. Could be. So Tani Rabbi Chiya Zelif Nei Biasmaim Vizelachar Biasmaim Zelif Nei Zvikas Damim Vizelachar Zvikas Damim. The Gemara quotes the Brisa Rabbi Chiya, where essentially the point that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai made in the previous Brisa is echoed by Rabbi Chiya in this Brisa. Once again, it's a timing issue. Shitiglachas Anega. Almost finished up with this, the Gemara's discussion by Rami Bar Chama. Hani Arba Taglachios De Kamar. Okay, so. A simple question that ends up this entire discussion. There were four times that you shaved. The person's a nazir, and compounded on that, he's a suffik tummy, and he's also a suffik mitzora. So, like the Mishnah told us, he's got to shave on four different occasions, and he really doesn't come to a conclusion with all of that until the fourth shaving. Now, every time that he shaves. Hani arba taglachios dekamer mishum mitzvah mishum aavure seyar. So, tama. So the Gemara asks a very simple question. He's shaving because he's doing a mitzvah every time he shaves, or he just simply needs to remove hair? Meaning, look, you know, he's not really done until the fourth. Meaning, the fourth time that he shaves is really the end-all, be-all of the shavings. Every other time he shaves, he's just removing possibilities. Can we not make an argument? This is the question that is posed by Rami Bar Chama. Can we not make an argument that in shaving 1, 2, and 3, it's not really the shaving that's important, it's just simply removal of the hair, so that we can start again? And the Gemara says, "Amai nafkamina lavuri benasha." And the Gemara says, and basically what we're suggesting is that maybe for 1, 2, and 3, it's just hair removal. Doesn't matter how you remove the hair. You can remove it with some sort of cream, something that just simply removes a hair removal cream. So, iamar mishum mitzvah lavur benashalo, viamar mishum avur seir tuma afilu sachya nasha nami. So, and the Gemara just simply says it's a very simple nafkamina. If the only purpose is the hair removal, just the goal of removing hair, so it doesn't matter how you remove it. But however, if we're saying that every time you shave it's a mitzvah, so then that means you have to shave with a razor. Amarava tashma megalech arba'a taglichiyot. So Rava says, I think it's inherently stated within the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says four teglachas. Teglachas, giluach, generally speaking, means shaving. And isak adach mishum avur seir, tumah, afilu b'shal shnameh, sagile. So the truth of the matter is, says the Gemara, is that we wouldn't count it as four distinct shavings if each one of the first three is not really a shaving, it's just hair removal. So shema mina, mishum mitzvah, shema mina. So you see that it's a mitzvah. True of the matter is that even without the Gemara, I even have difficulty understanding the question of the Gemara. This is just me speaking right now. I have a difficulty understanding the question of the Gemara. Because remember, in the case of the Mishnah, he may not be a mitzvah, and he may not be tameh. It's only suffix on both of them. So every time he's shaving, in 1, 2, and 3, every time he's shaving, he may be concluding his nazirus. If he's concluding his nazirus, like we learned earlier in the Masechta, there it's a mitzvah bitar. You have to do it with a razor. So, to be honest, I don't even understand the Gemara's question. How could it be with every shaving that you're shaving, it could be that there's no other issue other than you just simply being a nazir, and that would be true for 1, 2, and 3, and then you'd be shaving with a razor. So it's hard to even understand, like, where the question even started. But okay, that was just me speaking, and now my speaking part is over. Hajan lach shnei nazirin. That is the end of the eighth parak, and we now begin the ninth. Correct.
If it's reversed,
so then we have another issue. You can't. In other words, if you're a mitzora,
and then you come
right? Correct. So then we don't. It's complicated by the fact that you don't have the essay being doch elos asay. Okay, meaning that, let's just say it very quickly, meaning that when you're first a nazir, then you're mitzora. As a nazir, you have a mitzvah to shave. So the mitzora is so, but the mitzora, right? Okay. Anyway, just let's leave it at that. And the mitzora, you're going to be shaving in the interim. Okay. Anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't state it clearly. Okay. Let's go back to the Mishnah. Okay. We're starting now the ninth and final parak of the Masechta, and odds and ends, if you will, of a nazir. Not a great way to summarize the parak as we're about to start it, but we're going to kind of be here and there in the world of nazir, things that have not been covered in the first eight parakim. For example, the first Mishnah, Hakusamein Lahem Naziris. What if you're a non-Jew? Can you be a nazir as a non-Jew? Right? Simple question, good question. So the Mishnah says no. No, meaning you as a non-Jew, you could for sure say that you're no longer going to drink wine. Okay. You have a drinking problem. You want to abstain from drinking wine? Sure, go ahead. You can even make a commitment. I'm not going to do so. You can even swear that you're not going to do so, but you're not a nazir. You're not branded. You're not given status of a nazir, which means at the conclusion, you're not bringing karbanos to the Beis HaMikdash. Now, as we're going to be discussing as we start the Gemara, a non-Jew can bring a karban? Absolutely. Yes, a nazir, sorry. A non-Jew can bring a karban. So it's not, in other words, the question is not a non-starter. Because what are you going to say? A non-Jew can't bring a carbon? It's not true. He can bring a carbon. Although the carbonates that are brought by a non-Jew are limited to only a carbonola. A non-Jew cannot bring any other type of carbon. A non-Jew cannot bring a chatas, a shlamim, right, nasham, right, a toda. The only thing a non-Jew can bring to the base of mikdash is a carbonola, but he can bring it. So it's not a non-starter of a discussion. One could envision that there are three carbonates by a nazir. One of them is a carbonola. You could have constructed some sort of argument. Maybe the Najew could take on Naziris and, you know, and conclude it with a carbonola. But that's what the Mishnah is saying. No, cannot.
The Torah connects Nazir with Sotah.
We're going to discuss. It's going to be part of today's discussion in terms of why that is. Nashim v'avadim yeshlam Naziris. Women are included in the mitzvah of Nazir. The truth of the matter is, we have already made this point earlier in the Masechta, you don't need a Mishnah for that. It's a pasuk in Chumash, Ish O Isha. The Chiddush in the Mishnah is an Eved. Now we're saying an Eved Kenani. Okay, an Eved Kenani is included in the Parsha of Naziris for reasons which we're going to articulate as we get through the Gemara. Chomer ben Nashimi ba'avadim she'u kofes avdo ve'enu kofes ishto. Now, the Chomer as it relates to a woman over that of an Eved is that he can force his Eved, but ain't a kofes ishto, but he cannot force his wife. So
the husband can cancel, like neither can cancel another, can't he cancel the
zirata
of the
wife? So what the Mishnah means by this is as follows, is that if the Eved declares himself to be a Nazir, so it's going to only be at the agreement of his master, and his master at any point in time can say no. But when it comes to his wife, however, he does have a 24-hour window to annul
for Naziris
as well. He has a 24-hour period to annul, but after that the window is closed and he can no longer annul it and he can no longer protest it. And that's the point the Mishnah is making, is that by his Eved, so indefinitely, if he wants to protest, he could do so. For his wife, after 24 hours, can't.
Why is a kufi less?
The Mishnah's term kufi over here is meant to be understood generically.
Duff.
It means just simply non-Jew.
Yeah, but then Eved Kenani is okay.
Yeah. Eved Kenani is a Jew.
Like a woman.
I shouldn't have said it that flatly. Mm-hmm. It has Jewish status.
What about doubtful Jews?
Wait. I understand. Let's first start with what we can say, and then after. No. But the Mishnah doesn't mean that. The Mishnah says kusi over here. It'll be clear in the Gemara. Mm-hmm. What the Mishnah means by that is just simply a non-Jew. You'll see. Ketanei kutim ein lahem naziris menan nimili. So the Gemara says, okay, and where does that come from? The Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a brisa. Dabrei b'nei Yisrael v'lo lo avdei kochavim. So speak to b'nei Yisrael, not to avdei kochavim. The parsha of Naziris opens up with a declaration that I'm speaking to b'nei Yisrael. Now, I know in general, the whole Torah is speaking to b'nei Yisrael. But when the Torah opens a parsha like that, what the Torah is going out of its way saying is that there's a specific exclusion that we're making over here as it relates to Jew versus non-Jew. So, Dabrei b'nei Yisrael v'lo lo avdei kochavim. V'amat aleihem. And you will say to them, that's repetitive. So the rabbi says, that's an inclusion of an Eved. Okay. Now, lama likra hamar kol mitzvah she'isha chayev ba'e v'chayev ba. So the Gemara says, I need to include avadim. Let's think about that. What does that mean, I need to include avadim? An Eved has the status of a Jew. Once you become an Eved Kenani, we spoke about this at length. You become an Eved Kenani, you tov in the mikvah, and you become a partial Jew. Now, you are restricted in terms of marriage as an Eved Kenani. You cannot marry a Jew as an Eved Kenani, but in terms of mitzvahs in the Torah, you're chayv mitzvahs in the Torah. Your level of chiyuv for mitzvahs in the Torah is equivalent to that of a woman. So, why do I need a special ribui to tell me that we're going to include an Eved Kenani in the parsha of Nazir? He's included. Welcome. He's already part of Klal Yisrael. Again, he's also lavo bekal. He can't marry into the Jewish people, but he's a Jew. He has a status. He has Jewish status. So Amar Rav Shani Achad Amar Kral Lasor Yisrael Nafsho. Oh, so the Gemara says yeah. But what we're going to suggest is that I might have thought to have excluded the Eved Kenani from the Parsha of Nazir, and I'll tell you why. Because Nazir really is similar, if not the same, as making a neder. Who can make a neder? Someone who has ownership on his nefesh. If you have ownership on your nefesh, you can make a neder. It's pretty much stated in the Pesukim. Lesser Isser al Nafsho. To make an Isser on your nefesh. You're prohibiting something to your nefesh. So that means basically, you have a kinyan ha-nefesh. You own yourself. So b'mishe nafsho kenu yalo, yatsa ebishe nafsho kenu yalo. And a eved kenani is owned. Now, again, I know to speak about this to us modern, quote unquote, modern thinkers. It's not. Correct. But I do understand that. But just from in terms of understanding the Torah, the halacha. So you own an Eved Kenani. So he's property. You own him. You die. You pass him on to the next generation. So there's a bias when it comes to an Eved Kenani. So he's a Jew, but he's a Jew who's owned. And because he does not have ownership over himself, so therefore he can't make an ender. Because he's unable lesser al nafsho. And because he can't make an ender, so good, now you understand the Havamina. The Havamina would have been he can't become a Nazir. Because really Nazir is just an extension, it's a function of making an ender. Oh, okay, good. Now I understand. The Havamina is good. So ho the ain't nafsho knuya lo, so aim a gabi nazir, nami lo. So good, now the Havamina would have been if he can't make a neder, he can't become a Nazir. So, Kamash Malan, so the Chiddush is no, that's why the Torah goes out of its way to include the Eved Kenani, that he can become a Nazir. Okay, so right, the Havamina now has been perfectly strengthened, and the answer is, okay, despite the fact that now the legitimate Havamina would have been, he can't be, the Torah says goes out of its way to say, he's allowed to. Speak to Bnei Yisrael v'lo lo'ov dekochav v'chol heichad dechsev Yisrael ovi kochav v'lo. So the Gemara says, now, is this a hard and fast rule? That when the Torah opens up a particular parsha and says, Dabar Bnei Yisrael, it means Jew yes, non-Jew no. Meaning we're making a special exclusion in this particular issue. V'haga be'arachin dechsev. So the Gemara says, let's go to the end of Sefer Vayikra, Parshas Bechukosai. The end of Parshas Bechukosai, the Torah introduces us to the concept of arachin, where a Masechta Shav discusses arachin. And it basically goes like this. Dabar Bnei Yisrael. The parsha starts, opens up with Bnei Yisrael. Now, Parsha v'Erechin, and we're all familiar, let's just remind each other. The idea behind an Erech is I'm going to make a donation to the Beis HaMikdash based on either my value or your value. But when we say value over here, we don't mean your market value. Value over here is set by a schedule, and the schedule is based on only two variables, gender and age. You find out what gender you are, you find out what age you are, you look in the Torah, and the end of Parshas Bechukosai, and you give that much money to the Beis HaMikdash. This is called an Erech. The Torah, when introducing the Parsha of Arachim, opens up with the words Bnei Yisrael. V'tanyu and Latin Brisa. Bnei Yisrael Marichim Einov Dekochav Marichim. Oh, so it says Bnei Yisrael, so that means that we could be Marich, but a non-Jew cannot be Marich. And again, let's say it again. He can bring a neder to the Beis HaMikdash. He can make a voluntary offering to the Beis HaMikdash. He can make a donation to the Beis HaMikdash. But he can't be ma'arich. He can't do it under the construct of Erechin. Now, Yechalo Yein Arachin, I might have thought as follows. He can't be ma'arich, the non-Jew. But what about ne'arach? And ne'arach means be the subject of Erechin. Now, it means like this. I can declare, I'm going to give my Erech to the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so, male, 45, this is how much I'm going to give to the Beis HaMikdash. I can give your Erech, but when I say your, it has to be a Jew. What if I said I'm going to give you and I pointed to a non-Jew? And that means that he's a Ne'erach, he's a subject of Erechin. Included or excluded? So Tam Lamar Ish, so the Torah says the word Ish. The word Ish is a generic term, it's a universal term, it includes everybody, Jew and non-Jew alike. So therefore, the compromise now is that a non-Jew cannot be ma'arich, But he can be ne'arach.
Right.
The B'nai Yisrael excludes him from being ma'arich, but the Ish includes him in being ne'arach. Which is actually good for him. Meaning, right? He never is going to give through Erechin, but he can be the subject of an Erech.
There's no value assigned to a
Sure, gender and age. Gender and age are the only two variables. Everyone's got one. Okay. All right, I'm thinking about that also. The Gemara in Erechin, right? If I remember correctly, the beginning of the Gemara in Erechin, there is a discussion over there about Tumtum and Georginus and how they fit into the Parsha of Erechin. Okay, anyway.
So how does that relate in the Zeros?
Huh?
How does that relate?
Oh, so now by Nazir, so the Torah says, right, by Nazirus, the Torah uses both Lashonos of B'nai Yisrael and Ish.
Oh, they
would have
included it.
So now, right. So they're both included and they're excluded. So the Gemara says, oh, it's okay. I'm good. We'll finish up. Tamalamer ishani hacha damakra lavivalim ola yitama b'mishesh lo'av yatov ovichalchav mishen lo'av. So the Gemara says, okay. Right. So over here, as it relates to the Nazir, I'll tell you why non-Jews are excluded from Nazirus. Because the Torah says, makes an equation, Nazirus, and the relationship between father and son. And by the way, it's like a theme alert for the Masechta. I'm saying this outside of the point that Gemara just made. Theme alert for Nazirus, we've seen this already so many times, is that there is an inherent relationship between the Parsha of Nazir and the relationship between father and son. Right? Remember, we already discussed how the father can force the son to be a Nazir, even though he's a minor. We already learned that a son can take his father's Nazirus money and use it for himself. So there's an inherent relationship between the two, and the Gemara is saying is that because a non-Jew does not have this inherent relationship of father-son, that's why they're excluded from the Parsha of Nazir. To which now begs the next question of the Gemara, what does that mean they're excluded father-son? Lamai, Elam, Alekni, Yerusha, what do you want to tell me, that there's no Yerusha as it relates to a non-Jewish father and his son? The Gemara says, but that's not true. By Rabbi Chia, Bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ovikocham, Yerushas Aviv, Dvar Torah. A non-Jew inherits that the estate of his father, and that is a Torah concept. It's a Dvar Torah. Shenamer ki Yerusha le'esav nasati es har seir. So Yerusha le'esav. Okay, and he's a non-Jew, and he's Yorish, and he inherits in it, and it operates on a Torah level. So Ela b'misha muzar kibud aviv. So the Gemara says, okay, I'll tell you in which respect there is not a father-son relationship when it comes to the non-Jews, and that's the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Aim. Now, that doesn't say that they shouldn't honor their father. In fact, they should. In fact, if I can remind you, the Gemara in Kedushin, right, told us that one of the prime examples of who was honoring their father was Dama ben Nesina. He was a non-Jew. And the Gemara used him as a role model of, that's the way you honor your father. So it's not that they shouldn't honor their father. Of course they should. But it's no mitzvah for them to honor their father. And in that regard, they don't have the father-son relationship the same way we do. And that's why they're excluded from the Parsha of Nazir. So, Miksiv Kabid Avicha Gabi Nazir, the Gemara says, okay, that you're right. But so what? Kabid Avicha has nothing to do with Nazirus. So the Gemara says, Ela Amakra La'aviv Olim Olo Yitama B'mishi Yesh Lo Tuma. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you how we know that non-Jews are excluded from Nazirus, because they're excluded from the whole Parsha of Tuma. They don't have a concept of Tuma. And because they don't have a concept of Tuma, therefore they're not included in the Parsha of Nazirus. Yatsa V'kocha M'shein Lo Tuma Minalan Delech Lo Tuma. Gemara says, okay, good idea, powerful idea. But how do we know? How do we know that they have no idea of Tuma? And again, by the way, just another aside, if I may. There is a Gzeira Durabanan, a Tuma Durabanan on non-Jews, right? The Gemara in Nida discusses that at length. But in other words, on a Torah level, they're not included in the world of Tuma on a Torah level. And therefore, they're not included in the Parsha of Nazir. Minal and Delech Tuma, how do we know that they don't have a concept of Tuma? Amrakav, Isha Sheitma, Velo Yischata, V'nichrasa Nefesh Ha'imitoch HaKahal. So if a person is Tamei, and he doesn't become Torah, he's going to receive Kares. Now, by the way, not for being Tamei, meaning we're all Tamei. for being Tameh and going into the Beis HaMikdash, for being Tameh and eating karbanos, for that individual, he's going to receive kares. So b'mishlei shlokal, yatzuzeh shein lokal. So the Gemara says, the fact that the Torah, when introducing us to the idea of Tameh, also invokes the word kahal, is coming to tell us that it's only for the kahal, but not for non-kahal. Non-Jews are not included in the world of Tumah. The Gemara says that Pasuk is not enough evidence. Because all the Pasuk is telling us is that the non-Jew is not subject to Kares. Maybe there's Tumah, but there's no onish of Kares. Maybe that's the only thing the Torah is coming to teach us. To which the Gemara says, Amakra, Viza Tahor, Ala Tameh. Kol Sheish Latari, Yesh Latumah, V'chosh Ein Latara, Ein Lo Tumah. So the Gemara says, well, there's an equation between Tahar and Tameah. Remember, by the whole procedure of Paraduma, the Torah keeps repeating. The Torah person is going to be sprinkling on the Tameh person, right? And then most people come into contact with the Paraduma themselves become Tameh. Okay, anyway. But in order to be part of Tumah, you have to be part of Tahara. So the Gemara says, Ve'ema, Taharu Dulo Havile, Tumah Havile. So the Gemara says, okay, but again, not enough evidence. Maybe the non-Jew is not included in Tahara, but he's included in Tumah. And maybe the Gemara is suggesting that there's a concept that they can become Tameh with no solution. They just can't become Tahara. So Amar Krav Isha Sheyitma V'lo Yischata. So the Gemara basically says right. That's just simply a non-starter. That's impossible. Isha Sheyitma V'lo Yischata. A person becomes Tameh and didn't purify himself. Meaning, there can't be one without the other. You can't have Tumah without the possibility of Tahara. You can't have Tahara without the possibility of Tumah. So if they're not included in Tahara, they're not included in Tumah as well. Okay. So that is now argument number one. Question. How do I know that non-Jews are excluded from the Parsha of Nazir? So right now, suggestion number one is because part and parcel of Nazirus is Tumah. Not to come into contact with Tumah, since there's no concept of Tumah as it relates to a non-Jew, so therefore they're not included in the Parsha of Nazir as well. Okay, that is step number one. That's where we're at right now. We're going to pause over here. Tomorrow we're going to open up with another suggestion in terms of how we know that a non-Jew is excluded from the Parsha of Nazir. And okay, so what we did this morning is we wrapped up the Gemaras regarding the eighth perek of Nazir, the Suffolk, the Nazir who is also a Suffolk Tumah, a Suffolk Mitzora, or a Nazir who is any one of the other three permutations. What does that person need to do in order to conclude his Nazirus? And so we went through that. The Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai discussion of why can you not double dip on your shavings? And his answer basically was goal and timing. Because you're never going to find any one of the shavings where they have the same goal and the same timing. And the question the Gemara ended off with, do you need to shave all four times? The answer was, yes you do. You need to shave all four times with a razor. We started the ninth parak of the Masechta this morning. And in doing so, we learned two basic halachas. Non-Jews are excluded from Nazir, and Eved Kanani is included in Nazir. And we could have made arguments counter those two points, but that's exactly what the Mishnah is coming to be. Mechadesh, that in both of those, non-Jew is excluded, and Eved Kanani is included. And Eved Kanani actually has one point that a wife doesn't, and that is that his master can protest at any point in time. And then what we did over the course of the rest of this morning is we learned how we know that a non-Jew is excluded from being a Nazir. So right now we're operating with the first approach of the Gemara, which is that he's excluded from Tumah. And because of his exclusion from Tumah, he's also excluded from Nazir as well.